First time, and if you're returning after a while, also welcome. Just to clarify, the fast is not on the weekend, being the 24th, but the fast begins on the Monday. It's Monday the 26th of January. And if you've not fasted before and you're concerned or worried, then please speak with myself or your small group leader. If you've not fasted for 3 days, maybe you've fasted 1 day or two, then if I look around, I don't see anyone who won't manage a fast for 3 days. There may be some people who are pregnant, and sometimes that's visible and sometimes it's not, and you're excused. But for most of us, fasting for 3 days is something that we should be able to manage. So it's the 24th, 25th, sorry, 26th, 27th, 28th. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we're going to break fast at or during small group on Wednesday. So, please put those in your diary, and if you can, as Sally said, arrange your meals or your special meals, at least outside of that period, that would be good. I do. What comes to mind? Weddings. I heard weddings. And? Weddings. And do this. What comes to mind? Okay. Do this in remembrance of me and parents. Okay, good. How are your resolutions going, if you have any? Do this. This year I am going to do this. This year I am going to go to intercession. This year I am going to fit into those trousers that did not fit me last year. This year I am going to get a gym membership. Or this year, I'm going to make use of my gym membership. How about this? This year, I'm going to ask God what He wants. This year, I'm not going to ask God to bless what I plan to do, but I'm going to ask God, what has He planned for me to do? Let me ask you another question. What's the hardest thing for you about following Jesus? What's the hardest thing about following Jesus? You don't have to answer. Small groups, maybe. Don't answer now. What's the hardest thing about following Jesus? Paul was a fairly good follower. When he was anti-Jesus, he was good at it. He'd go to lengths. He was good. And God saw his passion and took his passion. Think of the person who's in your sphere, family, work, the furthest from following Jesus. The one who, if you're asked to invite someone to church, you'll think, not that person. The one who, if they see you pray, they'll make fun of you. The one who's furthest away. Paul was probably worse than that, unless there's some fairly radical people out there that work with you. Paul was worse than that. I think someone saw my sermon notes. It wasn't Paul, it was someone else. But, so, Paul was worse than that. Paul was worse than that. And this is what Paul said. One verse will appear on the screen, and I'm going to read on a few from Romans 7 and verse 15 is where we'll start. Paul said this: I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. There's lots of do's in there. He said this: I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And he continues, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. But I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, that I keep on doing. One more verse. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Paul was fairly good at following Jesus. He was good at opposing Jesus, and he was good at following Jesus. And he said this, I don't understand what I do. And he had a good mind. What I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. This is a reality. The question I asked was, what's the hardest thing for you about following Jesus? And the reality is this, we cannot even keep our own standards. That's true for me. I cannot even keep my own standards, let alone God's. I cannot keep my own standards. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to shout at without good reason. We can't keep our own standards, let alone God's standards. That's true. And we might be going along well with our New Year's resolutions. We may not have made any. It doesn't matter, really, whether you made any or not. Whether we make a resolution or we don't make a resolution, we find it hard to keep even our own standards. And on the other hand, there's somebody who does. Sally was sharing earlier when we had the offering message about David. And David wanted to build a house for the Ark of the Covenant. God said, no, a bit too much of this, David. It's going to be your son. And his son Solomon was the one who built that house, oversaw the building of many others. And this is what Solomon said in 1 Kings 8, verse 24. You'll also find it in 2 Chronicles and chapter 6. Solomon said this, you have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth, you have promised, and with your hand, you have fulfilled it. With your mouth, you have promised, and with your hand, you have fulfilled it. God's mouth-hand coordination is good. What he says, he does. If he says it, it is. So I often use this quote from T.D. Jakes. If God says my shirt is blue, my shirt becomes blue, because God cannot lie. What God says, he does. You might be a keen sports person. You might have good eye-hand coordination. But all of us struggle with our mouth-hand coordination. What we say, Paul struggled. What he wants to do, he cannot do. We can't keep our standards, but God keeps his standards. God is faithful. God delivers. I don't know if you wait in for deliveries. It can be frustrating. It can be frustrating. You wait in, it doesn't come. You're given a window. If God says, then it is. With your mouth you've promised. here's another question. If Jesus is the head, then what's the mouth? Okay, so we're the body. Paul tells us Jesus is the head. So if Jesus is the head, what's the mouth? I'm going to ask Moses to pass these around. Please take one. But don't do anything with it yet. You're reading. I said not to do anything. Keep reading, though. Keep reading. Now, we're just going to do some coordination exercises. Read the scripture. I checked the packet last night, and there was one that had scripture, but it was empty. So I think if you made a New Year's resolution not to have sweets, I've got one for you. Okay, so read your scripture, and then when you've read your scripture, please put your dominant hand behind your back. Okay, everyone done that? And now, keeping your dominant hand behind your back, try and open your... Sweet. I'm looking for different techniques. You can use your mouth. Are you there? How far did I tell you to go? Did I say open and eat? Or did I say eat?
No.
Open. Okay, anyone eaten yet? Keep going. Go on. Eat. You can return your dominant hand to the front of your body or the side of your body. One of the most interesting questions I was asked over the holidays is this. Is God right or left-handed? It was a very serious question. Is God ambidextrous? We could do a huge study. But if you have a Bible, please turn to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. God speaks, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. John Bevere's definition of grace is grace. He defines grace as the ability to go beyond our ability. Grace isn't anything goes. Grace is the ability that God gives to us to go beyond our ability. And he uses the example. Under the old covenant, to be guilty of murder, you had to murder. If you murdered, you were guilty of murder under the old covenant. But he says, under the new covenant, to be guilty of murder, hatred in the heart makes us guilty of murder. It's not a lower standard, it's a higher standard. Grace isn't lowering the bar. Grace is raising the bar. What we could not do, keeping the law, God says, receive my grace. You can now keep my standards because I give you grace to keep my standards. I give you grace. So God says, don't fear. Don't be dismayed. I'm with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let me ask you another question. What are the most encouraging words of Jesus? Now, we could spend a lot of time. It could be a good small group discussion. What to you are the most encouraging words of Jesus? And I asked myself that question. I thought, how can I encourage us? So, how can I encourage us? And it wasn't that a personal favorite came to mind. It was an open question. What are the most encouraging words of Jesus for us? John 15 and verse 5, Jesus says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, if anyone remains in me and I in him, that person will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We're not roots. We're not the trunk. Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. So Jesus says this, if anyone remains in me and I in him, that person will bear much fruit. So how do we remain? How do we remain in him? I don't have these scriptures on the screen. We're going to come on to the do this, because that's one way in which we remain. It's specific obedience. It's obedience to a specific command. Jesus gave two. One was to be baptized. And we're planning a baptism very soon. So if you're not baptized and you believe that you've not been baptized, then please speak with myself or your small group leader this week, because it might be soon. There was that command, a one-off. Believe and be baptized. And then there was the second command, to have communion. A repeated obedience. That's where we're going to go. But just before we end there, there's a couple of things that we can do. The first is in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. It's not on the screen, but you can write the reference if you wish. The writer to the Hebrews says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. It's Hebrews 10, verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Don't give up meeting together. We'll see when we have communion. It's not a one-on-one. It doesn't work like that. When Jesus instituted that meal, it was a one-on-many. Jesus and the disciples. Don't do communion on your own. Just me and God. It doesn't work like that. Don't give up meeting together. And then Paul writes in Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I don't know what you've harvested, your childhood, or maybe you have an allotment in London somewhere, a bit of a garden. It's hard work. But God gives this promise. Don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time you'll reap a harvest if you do not give up. So Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If anyone remains in me, that person will bear much fruit. What does it look like? What does bearing much fruit look like? What will it look like in your life if you were to bear fruit this year? What will it look like in your family? What will it look like in this congregation? If we as a congregation bear fruit this year, what will this room look like in 364 or 5 or 6 days' time? What will it look like? What will Shofar in the UK look like in July? Shofar Netherlands will begin. We can add our prayers to that. There's a date, early in July, for fruit. Does a pear tree, let's say a pear, the branch of a pear tree, partridge is not going to go down, partridges. The branch of a pear tree, what does it do? It bears fruit. It stays connected and it bears fruit. It doesn't strive. It doesn't try to be an apple branch because it won't work. Communion we're going to have very shortly. It doesn't work if we don't accept our place within the body. That's true for Shofar. Shofar has to accept its place within the body. Here in London, in Weybridge, across the world, in the body of Christ, Shofar must accept its place. If we try to do what we're not, it won't work. Within our church, even within our small groups, if we try to be the leader when we're not the leader, it will not work. Let's now put your non-dominant hand behind your back. Now, can you clap? Not bad. Okay. Do you all have someone next to you? Now try it. And go big. Come on, bigger. If the cells in my eye think, I don't particularly like looking, I'm not a good looker, I'd rather be a hearer, it doesn't work. How do we bear fruit? We accept and we remain. Now, might some of you move during the course of this year? Yes? But does the principle remain that where God sends you, remain? Where God sends you, remain. And you will bear fruit. It doesn't matter if it's city or suburb. It doesn't matter if it's northern hemisphere or southern hemisphere. What matters is that we remain in him. Because Jesus, remember, is true to his word. When God speaks, he delivers. If we remain in him, we will bear fruit. Are there seasons? Yes. Are there droughts and desert periods? Yes. If you ask anyone who's been following Jesus for more than, how long, 6 months? How long does it take for the honeymoon to rub off? There are deserts, there might be droughts, but Jesus' promise is true. If we remain, we will bear fruit. I think this might be the last question I ask you. What's the difference between those of us under the new covenant and those of us under the old?
So I gave you a clue earlier with the grace. The old covenant was law and the new covenant is grace. But what's the difference between those of us who now follow God under the new covenant and those who followed under the old? And let's look at our last scripture, who will help us, just as we prepare ourselves to have communion. Luke 22 and verse 19, it's the Last Supper. And I'll read on a few verses after this verse. And he, Jesus, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." There's your clue. Verse 21, 20. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." What's the new covenant? What makes the new covenant? Jesus' blood. Jesus' blood. For those under the old, for Jew and Gentile, for male and female, for slave and free, Jesus' blood is the new covenant. And if you remember that meal, the Last Supper, Jesus had that meal with all the disciples when they were still 12. He went on in verse 21. "But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table." Verse 34. Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." He had that meal with the one who would betray Judas, and with the one who would deny Peter. You can throw in the one who was doubting Thomas. And they were all scared. None of them stayed. Don't allow the devil to tell you that you're disqualified from following Jesus. You may have resolved to read the Bible in a year and you're already behind. It's only the 4th of January. Don't allow the devil to say to you, you're disqualified. Jesus had this meal with the one who would betray him, with the one who would deny him, with the one who would doubt him, and all of them were scared. And Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." What's the key to the "I do"? Whatever it is for us, for me, for you, what are the keys to those "I do's"? The keys are to do this, obey, remain. Remain and we will bear fruit. Do this, Jesus said. So, the verse in Isaiah, under the old covenant, is still true. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God is the one who strengthens. God is the one who helps. God is the one who upholds us with his righteous right hand. If we can pass around the crackers and the juice. I used to get too confused when I was younger about Peter, who was the one who denied, and Judas, who betrayed, and Thomas, who doubted. We're not much better than them. We might be inclined to doubt or to deny. Let's make sure we're not those who betray. What does that mean? It means when we let God down, we acknowledge that and we go to Him for that forgiveness, grace. God says, I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. Whatever I do that are for you, for your family, for your small group, this congregation, for this region of Shofar, there'll be ups and downs. We'll let God down. He knows that. He knows how we are because He made us how we are. So we remain. We remain in Him to bear fruit. We obey His commands. And this one in particular, Jesus said, He took the bread. He gave thanks. And He broke it, saying, this is my body given for you. God, we give you thanks that Jesus' blood is sufficient, that because He came to this earth and fulfilled, He completed, He finished what you gave Him to do. Because of that, we have access to you. Lord Jesus, thank you that you gave your body on the cross so that we could become your body. So, Lord Jesus, we honor you as we eat together now. In your name, amen.
Father, we thank you that we can, as we celebrate the cross this morning, we thank you, Lord, that we can do this in remembrance of you, God, Lord Jesus, that you did not stop halfway, but you endured the cross, Lord, and you paid the price in full. Lord Jesus, this morning we recognize, Lord, that your blood was shed for us and that where it flowed down into the ground, it is still there today, and it still declares, it still speaks, it still proclaims redemption of sins. And we thank you, Lord, that you have washed us clean, Lord. We thank you that once and for all you've paid the price, and once and for all you've wiped away the handwriting of requirement that was against us, Lord, that requirement of the law, that everything that our guilt required of us, Lord. Thank you that you've wiped that clean, Lord. You've even removed blame from us. You've even removed guilt from us. As far as the east is from the west, God, we thank you, Lord. We celebrate that, Lord. We thank you for the life that is in the blood. We thank you for the fullness of life in it, God. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins, Lord. And as we celebrate this, Lord, as we do this in remembrance of you, God, we lift up the cross over this nation, over our city, over our lives, and we declare the blood is sufficient for you. The blood is sufficient for us, yeah, and it is sufficient for every soul. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We celebrate not only the blood, but also the fact that you rose from the dead, and that we reign in life with you, God. Let's drink together. We thank you, Lord, that as we celebrate the broken body and the blood of Christ at the beginning of this year, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can claim the power of the blood of Christ over our lives this year. The protection of the blood of Jesus, Lord. The power of the cross at work in and through our lives on a daily this year, God. In the name of Jesus, we declare we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. For whoever believes, we proclaim it over this year. We proclaim it over our lives. We proclaim it over this city and this nation in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to sing again, but as we do, as you prepare, look back and look forward and thank God for his faithfulness. He's the one who helps. He's the one who strengthens. He's the one who upholds us. What God says with his mouth, he does with his hand. It's him and not us. Don't strive. The God who's faithful last year will be faithful this year. God will not change. He does not change like shifting shadows. We go up and down, some of us a lot, some of us a little, but we oscillate. He doesn't change. Just where you are, you prepare. Just thank God. Between you and him, thank God for his faithfulness. Be specific. Be audible. It can be quiet or loud. Be specific. And in a minute or so, we'll sing together. God, thank you for each prayer. Thank you that you hear them, even the silent ones. Holy Spirit, show us now. Give us reminders of your faithfulness. To ourselves, to our families, to our communities, to this nation. God, you're good in all that you do. You're good in all that you are. You're faithful. You have so much mercy for us. You're not waiting with a stick to beat us, but you're waiting with arms open wide to receive us back, to welcome us back. Jesus, thank you for your grace. Which is not limited. Thank you that your blood is sufficient. Lord Jesus, we lift your name high. We lift high your name.
Father, we thank you, God. And as every eye is closed, I just feel that there's some here that maybe you're excited for the new year, but there's this one thing that you dread. There's this one thing that you almost thinking, oh, I can't face this, or I can't believe I have to go back to this, or I'm still struggling with this, or I still have to face this challenge. And I just feel that if every eye's closed, if that's you, if there's something that you don't know how you're going to get around, or you don't know how to get over this challenge or through this difficulty. I just feel God right now wants you just to commit that to him and to proclaim over that area and that thing in your life that God is able. And he is faithful, but he is able. And he with Him, the impossible becomes possible. And I just right now, I just feel that if there's an impossibility that you're facing in your life this year, then just right now there's a grace for you to commit that to God and to acknowledge, God, with you this is possible. And yet, I will, you know, that you will take us through this thing, and that even in this difficulty, there will be a victory. Father, we bring those before you now, those impossibilities, Lord. We bring those insurmountable challenges, Lord, to you now. And we declare, thank you, God, that with you, God, all things are possible. Thank you, God, that we serve the God of the impossible. And we thank you right now as we commit those things to you. Holy Spirit, you hear every heart, Lord. You hear every person right now. And we thank you, God, that we can declare, Lord, you are able. And we put our trust in you, God. We put our faith in you, God. And we thank you that you will bring it to completion, God, the work that you start in us, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you'd like to stand, we're going to worship.
Jesus, be the same.